Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Man, I feel like preaching. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. One translation says, you ought to pray and not give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. And he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet this widow keeps bothering me. I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will he not give God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in this earth? One translation says, will he find this kind of faith in the earth? Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We have watched you work this whole week. You're the one that shows up in the middle of crisis. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted, and we have seen that manifested in this city. We've seen it manifested across congregations this week. God, I thank you for what you're doing through the body of Christ and what you're doing through this city. And Lord, we believe that you are going to do amazing things and miracles, Lord. What the devil meant for destruction, God, you're going to turn around for the fortification and for the glory of the Son of God in our city. We declare that prophetically in the name of Jesus. That everyone said, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, tell him not to give up. I hope you like the song that we introduced at the end of worship service, because we're going to sing it at the end. You guys, I'm just going to tell you, we passed out prayer cards. If you didn't get one, they should be back on the pub tables. We want everybody to actually fill out a prayer request card. And we're actually, at the end of the service, going to have every one of you bring it up, and just you're going to lay it at the altar at the very end of the service, because that's what I'm going to pray over this week. Your needs are going to be my prayer needs this week. And we are going to turn up the level of prayer in this church. We are going to just... I got to preach. Let me get going here. If you're a note taker, I'm going to give you a few things to write down. First of all, I want you to write this down. Prayer is the key to see the power of God released in your life. Most of us want the power of God to work through our life, but most of us don't want to pray enough for the power of God to work through our lives. It's like having a chainsaw that doesn't have any gas in it. You can have a great tool, but the tool still needs power. And if we want the power of God to work in our life, we need to be a people of prayer. Billy Graham said it best, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And if we want to see the power of God to work in us and among us and through us, we need to be a people of prayer. So if you're ever talking about prayer or discovering or deciding on a theology of prayer, you have to dive into Luke chapter 18. This is something I think is quintessential to prayer, and there are so many people that the way they treat prayer, I always wonder, have you ever read Luke chapter 18? Because I think if you're going to talk about prayer, if you're going to minister about prayer, you have to have a tenacity of what we see in the idea of praying and not giving up. Because quite often is we pray, and when we pray and God delays an answer, many times we translate the delay from God as a rejection from God. We think it's a direct rejection from God. I have prayed about this. In fact, Pastor, I prayed about it twice. And maybe God just doesn't want to like me at all. He doesn't care for me at all. Or I prayed and something didn't change. But I'm here to say this, that we are called to pray. And sometimes God's delay is honestly simply God's direction. Because there are times I've prayed for something. How many of you have ever prayed hard for something and you actually look back in life and thank God he said no? There's a few girls I dated and I prayed about. Thank you, Jesus. God said no. Baby, I love you. He said yes. And there are other times that when in God's delay, sometimes God does a work in your life in his delay. I know, has anybody in the house where through your time and praying and interceding and persevering in prayer, how many of you have looked back on that time? It may have been days, it may have been weeks, it may have been months, but by the time the answer came about, God worked something in your life that could not have been done if he would have answered immediately because he had a greater purpose in mind. How many of you have seen God work in your life through prayer? There we go. I'm here to say this. If God has not said yes yet, it does not mean that God will not say yes forever. He might not say yes now, but he might say yes later because he might be working something. He might be doing something. And we've got to lift up our eyes and see what God is doing. We see in Luke chapter 18 this beautiful parable about what Jesus is talking about. And so in this story, we get two different contrasts. First of all, we get this unjust judge. We get this person who has been put into a place of notoriety. And I'll be honest, I don't know if I've ever stood in front of a judge. No, I take it back. I have. Different story. But I've stood in front of a judge and him not give me the favorable direction that I thought. And I'll be honest, I was a little sarcastic at the end. I think I said, okay, well, thanks for everything. Probably not the smartest thing to say to a judge. It's what came out of me. But this guy, what we have in Scripture says that he didn't fear God nor he fear man. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about humanity. Just the type of judge you want in your life, right? And so we get this contrast between this unjust judge that doesn't care about you, doesn't care about the Lord. He just cares about what he wants to care about. And we get this beautiful contrast between him and God, for which Jesus says, like, if the judge finally gives justice, how much more does a heavenly Father who loves you, who adores you, who has created you in his image, how much more will he not pay attention to you? So we get this contrast, and then we get this other contrast where this widow comes on the scene. Now, I grew up with flannel graph in Sunday school, and whenever they kind of showed the widow, they always showed this elderly woman knocking on the door. And just knocking, knocking, waiting for the judge to answer and to give her justice. But to be honest, we have no clue how old she is. And in fact, she could be in her 20s. She could be a young mom, having individuals to take care of because her husband could have lost his life in war, could have lost his life in sickness, a husband could have left her. We don't know how old this woman is. What we know is she's a widow, and in this type of male-dominated society, for which it did not offer a lot of employment opportunities for women of that day, especially when they were single, they might have had children. She's trying to make ends meet. She's trying to get justice. She has been wronged. And according to this scripture, she is protected underneath the law, but the judge does not want to grant her the true justice that she deserves. And so we get this contrast of this woman that has a need. She's being turned away unjustly. Somebody has also wronged her outside of the judge. She has got her life to take care of, potentially family to take care of, and she doesn't know what to do. And we are contrasted as the readers, the listeners, with this woman. God and the judge, the listeners, and this woman. And this comes out of Luke chapter 17. If you've ever read Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking about his return. We are a church that believes in the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. We believe in the blessed hope. We believe that Jesus is coming again one day. But how many of you know that throughout the years that we expected it a little bit sooner than now? Remember back in 1988, a book got written, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. It's a bestseller for a few months. How many of you remember the Mayan calendar in 2012? I think we gathered as a staff. I think Pastor Marty made sliders, and we got together just in case. It's a true story. But we've heard for years, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And this is what he's talking about, Luke chapter 17. And so what Jesus is actually doing, he's making a point, is when the answer seems as slow as his second return, don't give up. When you feel like it's taken forever, when you're tired of praying, when you feel like everybody has forgotten about your needs, don't give up. We are to pray and not give up. If you're waiting for the answer, don't give up. Keep on praying. If somebody is discouraged, you're saying, stop praying about it. Pray all the more. That no matter what you are facing or what you are feeling, keep on praying. So there are three things that we want to dive into today. Three quick points, and then we're going to come to this altar today. Number one, this scripture teaches us about prayer and frequency. Prayer and frequency. Verse 2 says, "A certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" Verse 4, "For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man.'" We're going to stop right there. Now notice something. This widow has come to him. She has, my guess is, no money, no influence, and no friends in high places, to the point where she had to go straight to the judge, because in this culture, women were not allowed into the courtroom. So she can't even argue for herself. So she just goes to the judge to get something done. And so the judge, my guess is, I'm going to just kind of think through this, the judge will ask, okay, the first knock on the door, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm a local widow. This has taken place. I have been wronged, and according to the law, I deserve justice. Who do you know?" "Nobody." "Do you have any money?" "I don't have any money." "I can't help you." Shuts the door. "But I've got a need. I don't know you. You have no influence. You have no purpose. I don't get anything about help, anything out of helping you." The next day. "Who is it?" "I need justice." Now he's annoyed. She keeps coming. "I told you yesterday that I'm not going to help you. Go find someone else to help you. I'm not going to be the one to help you." Okay, the next day. Now he knows the sound of the knock. Do you know the sound of certain people's knock? I know the sound of salesmen's knock. I just know the sound. And then I don't answer. Maybe I should answer. I just don't. So he now knows the sound, and he's trying to ignore it. And she's like, "Okay, if you're going to ignore me, I'll come back at noon." Shows up at noon. He's ignoring it. "Fine, I'll show up in the evening." And he's like, "Listen, I'm a judge. I'm going to get a PPO against you." She's like, "Bring it." Day and night, night and day. Do you see a point there that some of us, we come to God and we give him a little prayer. "Lord, thank you for the food. By the way, can you heal me?" But there is a tenacity that God is calling us to have, that some of us, we get one little idea of a rejection. But God has put this in Scripture. Jesus is telling us to say that we got to have something within our spirit that is willing to keep knocking, to keep going, to keep having this idea that we can call out to God. Because the Scripture says that she is going to continue do this. That word "continue" in the Greek many times is translated "forever." She's going to continue forever. "I'm still here. I'm still showing up. Are you going to keep ignoring me? It's not possible." I had a little sister that was like that, by the way. "I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you until you got to do something about it." But she is relentless. She is relentless. "You're going to give me justice. I've got a need, and you're the only one. You're the only one that can meet the need." God, give us a tenacity in our prayer, that we will be so frequent with our prayers that even though we may not have heard from God, that we're going to go before God. And some of you are going to say, "That seems disrespectful to the hallowed Father." I'm here to say, Jesus is telling us to pray this way. This is not the pastoral opinion. This is Jesus saying, "Listen, you've cried out to God once, keep crying out. Keep knocking on the door. Keep pounding on the door, because Jesus is listening, and he is ready to answer and respond to your faith." I'm not going to put off the situation. I'm not going to set it aside. I'm going to keep praying until I see me change or the situation change. That's the tenacity. And notice what he says in verse 5. He needs to answer her so that she will not beat me down. She was not going to assault him. Her constant knocking and crying out, it's literally in the Greek, it's boxing language. He was being beat down by the constant barrage of asking. There is a great theologian named Mike Tyson who said this: "Everybody has a plan till they are punched in the face." Everybody's got a plan. The devil's got a plan, but he's fine, because many Christians, they won't punch back. "God, are you there? Okay, I'll move on. But we need a people with a tenacity of frequency that will keep barraging heaven with our prayers. You know what makes Floyd Mayweather one of the greatest boxers ever? It's not because he's got the hardest punch. He doesn't have star power. There's a little Nintendo reference for a few of you. He doesn't have star power. What he does is he entertains you for a couple rounds. He gets that person so tired, so weary, that all of a sudden after a couple rounds, when you're weary and you can barely hold your arms up, all of a sudden he begins to go to town on you. Some of you, you're allowing the devil to allow you to get weary, but I'm here to say don't get weary in well-doing. He's going to throw his punches, but don't get weary. You keep knocking. You keep calling out. You keep crying out to God, because after a while, it's not you that's going to get fatigued. It's the enemy is going to get fatigued, because greater is he who lives within us than he who lives within the world. We got to keep pushing forward. And the point is this in verse 6, is if an unjust judge who relents because of her asking, how much more? How much more does a God who loves you more than anything in this world, loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, how much more does a heavenly father who adores you, how much more will he take care of you and his people? How much more? And there are times that I have prayed and prayed and not seen changes that I believe that God put upon my heart to change. I've got a loved one. I've got a sister who's away from Jesus right now. I have been praying for decades. I've got a mom with Parkinson's. I have been praying for, 10 years, 12 years? I don't know how long it's been, but I'm here to say this. There's a difference between, well, I didn't receive it today, and you know what? Maybe tomorrow. Some of us get stuck on, I prayed, I didn't receive today. There's a difference between faith that goes into there to say, well, I didn't receive today, and the faith that says, you know what, maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next day, or maybe the next day, maybe the next day. I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep calling out to God until God changes me or the situation. Give us a people who will be frequent in their prayers. We have given up too easily, and what we need to do is deepen our capacity for prayer. I'm going to preach on capacity next month in our marriage series, because I get so frustrated when our go-to is, well, I don't have the capacity for people. I don't have the capacity for this situation. I don't have the capacity for that. I'm here to say this. The reason why we don't have capacity is because we don't stretch ourselves. And some of our capacity for prayer is limited by the fact that we don't pray. But the more we pray and the more frequent we pray, we start deepening ourselves and we have a greater capacity to not just call out for prayer, but to continue to call out for prayer day after day after day. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I'm here to say this. A bad report from the devil is nothing more than fertile ground for a miracle for God to move in your life. Bad reports happen. It's called being human. I'm here to say we've got a heavenly father that loves us more than an unjust judge that doesn't like God or people. And a shot from the devil is not the situation. The shot from the devil is not the situation he handed you, but the faith he stole from you. Don't allow the devil to steal your faith. Stop quitting. Number 2, prayer and fervency. We have prayer and frequency, prayer and fervency. In the NIV, verse 3 says this. There's a widow that kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. The word plea in the Greek means an extended random harangue. What a great word. I don't know what a harangue is, but it sounds phenomenal. An extended random harangue, long, frequent, to the point of obnoxious. You might be annoyed at calling out to Jesus. He's not annoyed at you calling out to him. And Jesus is telling us to cry out to him like this. He's telling us to pray like this. That's why this portion of Scripture exists. Verse 7 says, cry out to him. The Greek language, that means to shout in a tumultuous way. This is loud. I mean, I don't know about you when you pray. I don't know how you pray, the way you pray at home. There are times when I'm in my office, I am shouting at God or shouting to God. All right, I shout at God and to God. That's okay. As some of us get so quiet in our prayers, and I'm here to say this, can you pray inside your head? Of course you can. This is why when people say, do you want prayer back in schools? I'm like, prayer's always been in schools. As long as there's tests, there will always be prayer in school. Man, I prayed in tongues over some of those exams, man. I'm telling you. There's always going to be prayer in school. Can you pray in your head? Of course you can. But if you're limiting your prayer life to what you can think in your head, you are missing out on what the scripture calls us to do. James chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. By the way, we believe in divine healing in this church. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful as it is working. Then we stop there, but you got to keep going. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. The word fervently in the original language means this: he prayed. That's how it reads. Heard of cray-cray? This is prayed. He doubly prayed. There was a situation, and he doubly prayed. He bared down in prayer, and we saw things transform around him. Psalm chapter 5, verse 2, give attention to the sound of my cry, my King, my God, for to you I pray. Psalm 34, 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Hebrews 5, 7, in the days of the flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud what? Cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Now notice, the word reverence has nothing to do with how quiet he was. He was crying out to the Father, and the Father answered him. Now I'm here to say this, let's be real. Frequency and fervency, they have to be in accordance with the will of God. We're not doing name it and claim it. We're not going out and claiming specific cars and specific houses and specific things, specific lottery numbers. We're not doing that. We're praying with the will of God, but the point is we quit too soon and we have to persevere because the Lord is looking for that type of faith in us, the type of faith that simply says this: you can keep ignoring me, I'm going to stay here as long as it takes. I'll stay. I'm still here. Jesus, it's me, Margaret. Sorry, that's a book, isn't it? I'm not sure. Number three. Prayer and faithlessness. Can we scratch that from the podcast? Prayer and faithlessness. And the blunt comment, that would be good too. Worship team, I need you so bad. Number eight, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, that's a key word right there. If you have your paper Bibles, it's a good word to circle and to write there. This is a reference to chapter 17. Sometimes we read chapters and we don't read them together because in the original scrolls, there were no chapter breaks. And so Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, he's referring to chapter 17, will he find faith? Or one translation says, this kind of faith on the earth. Faith, the faith that perseveres stands, even when the answer is slow in coming. Listen, I love being an American. I love our country. I'm a patriotic guy. Love our country so much. But I think that we've got so much Americanized Christianity that we, if an order at a fast food restaurant comes 30 seconds slower than what we think it ought to, we don't go back to that place and we try to cancel that place. We tweet about it and we just tell everybody, don't go back to that place. You'll wait 30 seconds longer than you need to. And how much more do we treat God like that? And we move on from God because he didn't move according to our timing, according to our will and our way. God doesn't care. I'm here to say it couldn't be furthest from the truth. God doesn't move on my behalf. Couldn't be further from the truth. We have a God who meets needs and he is faithful. God values your prayers. In fact, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, that your prayers are like incense that go up before the Lord. Psalms 56, verse 8, that when we cry, we get this amazing picture. It says that he stores up our tears. He collects our tears. Now, that's not in reality. He doesn't have jars of our tears, but there is, he notices our pain. Thank you, God, that you notice our pain, that the door is not shut, that you notice our pain. Acts 10, that God sent an angel that said, your alms and prayers have been heard in heaven. We've got a God who hears us. Well, why doesn't he respond right away? There's a lot involved in that. That's a big, big answer. Sometimes there's spiritual warfare going on. Sometimes all of hell is stacked against you, and the armies of heaven are coming there to give you an answer, and there's a lot to fight through to get you an answer. There are spiritual battles that take place. Sometimes there's the development of your own life, because there are times I've asked for things that emotionally or maturely I wasn't ready to handle, and God had to grow me. There's some things that you're praying about that you want God to send somebody to do, but perhaps God has already given you an answer in you to send you. I could tell you the amount of people that sent me messages mad at me about what we were doing. Redonkulous, right? And the reason why they were mad is because we weren't doing it in their village or their town or their city. Why don't you send it over there? Portage has enough. Or when are you sending a truck over? And my response is, and I was nice, if you see a need and you're praying for someone to meet that need, come on over. Fill up your car. Take it on over. Be the person to love your neighbor. And if you can't do it, I've got, volunteers, servers. That was 2 weeks ago. We have servers who will drive it over. And all of a sudden people show up. Well, I was told to come on over. Grace, let's load you up. Because some of you are praying for something that God has already given you the ability to fill and to do. See, the story of this widow reminds us that your next prayer can be the last prayer, the answer that you're looking for. So don't give up. You're praying for healing. I'm praying for my mom. I am praying for my mom. I'm praying for my sister. I've got family members. I got my Uncle Jason, who's like a brother to me. I've been praying for Jason for years, and I'm calling out to God. I've been beating on the door, waiting and waiting and waiting. And the reality is this: have I been discouraged? Of course. But I know in my head, I can't go to the place that says, well, it didn't happen today. It happened today. I go to this place that says, you know what? If it didn't happen today, it might happen tomorrow. So I'm going to keep knocking. And the next day, I'm going to keep knocking. And the next day, I'm going to keep knocking. Because at some point, I know God is going to show up. And the reality is, he's probably already showing up and working in ways that I cannot see, because when you can't see him in the foreground, I know he's already working in the background. Don't give up. To go out of here with maybe just a little bit more faith in you, knowing that maybe the answer that you haven't seen yet is not because of God rejecting you. It's not that he doesn't hear you. There might be warfare going on right now that is preventing things from getting to you, or things that God is already keeping from you, saving you from, that you have yet to even see. God is working on your behalf. Moms, he's working on your behalf. Your mom has got to work on your behalf, because his kids are. But today, I want you to leave with more faith in your heart than you ever had before. Boldness in your spirit, ready to call out to God. Boldness enough to ask God for things that you never thought you could. Be full of the Spirit this week. And my ask of you is this. Is this week, would you just turn up the volume on your prayer, both in intensity, fervency, and frequency, but even volume? Some of y'all got to open your mouth. You're in your car by yourself. Just turn up the music. I've been listening to Elevation Trust in God this whole week, and I've been just shouting in my car and crying over our guests over here, shouting to God with a voice of triumph. But as you come across needs this week, when the Holy Spirit puts things on your heart, go to prayer and keep praying. Don't be one and done. Keep praying and watch God do miracles. And if God gives you miracles, do me another favor. Would you tell somebody about it? For the love, just call us and tell us. I'm so sick of looking at you saying, hey, I've been praying for you for 3 weeks. Oh, God gave me the miracle 3 weeks ago. Tell us. We want to celebrate with you. To God be the glory. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. May he turn his face toward you and toward the city of Portage and grant us peace. Love you all so much. Have a blessed and beautiful Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. God bless.